And I can tell you that, that once we've been there a few times, you will never doubt the Bible again. You'll never. You will fall in love with the beauty of the Word of God. Amen. So you talk with me when, and I can also do during the daytime. If you feel we don't want to do evenings, daytime, we can do that. I want to talk with us this morning about identification. Identification. You know, identification is very important to all of us. The first thing when you enter another country is they want to know who you are. You got to show them. Here's my passport, my name, everything is in there because they need to ID you. And identification is very important to a lot of people. You know, when I go, when we travel, drive through town, and we cannot help but notice that some people want us to know that they are of British descent. There's a British flag outside their house. They want us to know a little bit about themselves. Amen. And there's a lot of patriotism that people want us to know about. I saw a car with a license plate that had a South African swear word on it. Well, that's a little bit of twisted patriotism, but somebody wants us to know something. Not everybody knows, but some do. When you read that, you understand, you know where he's from. I saw a car here in Newmarket. Maybe you've seen that car also. His license plate is Gentile. He wants everybody to know that he's a Gentile. Well, that's fine. It's interesting to see what people want to be identified by. It's very interesting to see that. And how important identity is. People want to identify with political parties. And they make that a main issue in their life. This is what I root for. Or a sports team. You know, you see the little flags on the cars and stickers, bumper stickers. And, you know, people want to identify with things. They want everybody to know, this is my team. Some people want everybody to know that they identify or they want to be identified by a certain gender, especially these days that we live in. Or they want to be identified by a certain denomination. And there were days when we were in a denomination, and I tell you, we didn't consider anything else. We moved from one town to the next. That's where we went. Whether the spiritual food was good or not, that was irrelevant to us. We were faithful to our denomination. And it was not always a good thing, but we identified with it. And sometimes paid a price for that. You pay a price to be a member of this church. Some of you know that. If you stand on the truth and you fight for the truth, you'll pay a price for that. Not everybody likes that. To you know, maybe sometimes they will want a little gray in there, you know. And that's okay. And that's okay. It's interesting that Paul, the Apostle Paul, after he got born again, he changed his name. He went from Saul to Paul. He got himself a brand new identity. And no wonder, because he's the one that wrote, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. He made sure everybody knew that, including himself. I'm a new creation. Everything has become new. I even give myself a new name. When we marry, the husband gives his last name to the wife. And she graciously accepts that. Because the two become one and there's an identity that goes with that. We become one. There's an identity change that comes. But the Bible has a lot to say about identity. And I don't think we make enough of that. Because if we begin to identify with a denomination or a certain flow in Christianity or a movement, then maybe we need to think about that some more. And go where the Bible wants us to go with identity. You know, God is not the one that started denominations and movements and flows of faith and all that stuff. These are man-made things. These are man-made things. We need to identify with in the way that God wants us to identify ourselves. And the Bible has some interesting things to say about that. Now, as I look through this and spend quite a bit of time meditating on this, I guess we can talk about this for weeks. But I just want to lift out a few things that I found that was so important. Do you know that when Jesus, after he was baptized, the Bible says the Spirit led him into the desert, and he fasted there for 40 days. And when he came out of that fast, the Bible says he was hungry, and the devil showed up. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, tried to cast a doubt on his identity. If you are the Son of God, do this and do that. And prove that. I want to see if you can prove that you're the Son of God. And I found that interesting because it seems to me that the moment we begin to step into our true identity, there'll be a challenge. People challenge you. Prove that. That's why a lot of people don't say anything. They don't want to be challenged. There's a lot of secret agents in Christianity. Nobody knows they're a Christian. They don't identify with any of that. They slip in and they slip out. But the challenge is too much. It's too much. They don't want to be put on the spot and declare their identity. Pull out their spiritual passport and say, this is who I am. If you are the Son of God, challenge his identity right away. He wanted to know if you know who you really are. And I wonder sometimes if as Christians, if we really know who we are. You know, in the small groups, we work through the book of Genesis, and I tell you, I begin to discover some amazing things. And I see that God made us in his image. Well, that's... He wanted us to look like him and therefore identify with him. That was the main purpose of God making man. He wanted us to look like him so that there'll be no doubt who these people are. Well, they look like the one that made them. They identify with him. And I believe that we have some catching up to do in Christianity as far as that is concerned. We need to step into our true identity, take our full place that God has ordained for every one of us. I'm a little tempted to move into the things that we've been talking about there in Genesis in the small groups, but I'll leave that for the small groups. Well, I want to tell you, God doesn't like mixed things. When he started creation, he divided things. He brought division between light and darkness, between the dry land and the waters and everything. He started dividing things up because he doesn't like things mixed. And that's what holiness means in its sense. In a sense, it means to be separate. Separate from the world. Don't mix with the world into that twilight where everybody looks the same. No, we need to look like the one that made us. we need to look like the one and be identified as somebody that was made in the image of the one that made him. Why would people want to look like the world if you can look like God? Why would you? Why would you rather be quiet and be accepted by the world as one of them if you can be accepted by God as one of His? And so I found there are two things that we need to identify with. You know, some people like to be identified by their profession. You see that even on license plates sometimes. Their profession means a lot to them, and they want everybody to know that. And that's fine. But there are two things that we need to identify with. One is Christ, and the other one is your purpose. And in both of those, you'll be challenged. Both of those. You dare to speak up on any of those two things and identify with that, the questions will come. Prove that. Show me. Show me. How many times did the Pharisees and all those religious people come to Jesus and ask for a sign? Show us. Show us. In Christianity, we have become more obsessed with experience instead of being. Too many people run after experiences instead of becoming who God made you to be. Oh, some people are so quickly satisfied, so soon, with so little purpose and identity. The two things that we need to identify with. Now, I want us to go, first of all, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It's identification. Here's what Jesus did. He, Son of God, came as a man to identify with us. He became one of us. He was subject to life on earth just as we are. The Bible says he was tempted in all things just as we are. He became one of us to identify with us in order to save us. Paul says, I become all things to all men that I may save some. Well, Jesus became all things to all men so that he may save us. He identified with us. He even identified with us in our desperation and in our darkness by taking all our sins upon himself, identified with that to pay the penalty for it. He identified with us. Now we identify with him through baptism by identifying in his death. Just as he rose, so we'll read that now, from the grave. When we come up out of baptism waters, we rise into newness of life. And may I quickly say, if you've been baptized but you haven't risen into newness of life, don't think baptism is going to save you. Don't think you're going to stand before him one day and say, well, I've been baptized, you know. No, he'll be looking for identification. That's what he'll be looking for. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptized into Christ Jesus, that's identification. I identify with him and his death by being baptized. That's how I identify with him. That's one of the deep meanings of baptism. I identify myself with him. I associate myself with him. Goes much deeper, actually. Do you know that the world called the disciples Christians after the one that they identified with? They could see him in his followers. And they said they were just like him. Anointed ones. And the Christians didn't give that name to themselves. The world gave it to them. Nowadays, we do. And how cheap that has become. I think, you know, if we go back to the days where the world will recognize that, we'll be back in the good old days. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him. We were buried with him. Through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Identification. You cannot identify with his newness of life, with his new life, resurrected life, if you have not identified with his death. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. These are deep things. Well, I tell you, God wants us to identify with him in the likeness. We need to step into the same thing that he stepped into. The likeness of his resurrection. Identifying with his death and identifying with his resurrection. Knowing this, that their old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why, it's a different life he's talking about. He's not just talking about church-going religious Christian. He's talking about a new life. He's talking about the life of Christ manifesting in us and through us. Jesus didn't go through all of that to give us religion. He did that to give us a new life. He did that to give us his life that was raised from the dead. Never to be the same. And now he wants to live his life through us. How do I know that? Apostle Paul wrote about that. He discovered that when he said, I don't live anymore. But Christ lives in me. He was so... When we read the revelations that came through Paul, you understand, it's not the same man that studied to be a Pharisee. There's newness of life radiating out of this man. We were in China a year or two ago, and a lady there gave her life to the Lord, and she came to me afterwards speaking through an interpreter, and she said, I'm born again now, and I want to change my name. And I want you to give me a name. That was a little difficult. But I think she understood that things have to change. She wanted to be called by a new name. And I was caught a little off guard. I didn't expect, I never had that one before. And I gave her a name. And a group of people stood there. And right away they said, well, from now on, that's your name. They accepted that. The old one passed away. And a new one was raised up in newness of life. Let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I just want to tell you that we have to be a little more serious with our in our walk with God. If we're not serious enough yet. Because I want to tell you, we live in very, very serious times. You have no idea how serious these times are. If you don't look into Scripture and you don't study these things, you'll think life next year will be the same as this year. And I cannot guarantee that. We live in very serious time. You know, we look at the signs. The Bible talks about the last days, and boy, it's astounding what we find. It's astounding, and it's time for Christians to step into this new life. Get rid of things that hold you back. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. You listen to me this morning. It is not worth it. Give it all to Him. You cannot live half old life, half new life. You either or. And I know it's tough. I'm not trying to make it easy, but you know what? Lord will help us. He's there. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there. It's not something to be fearful of. It's quite exciting, actually. The Christian life was supposed to be exciting. And if it's not exciting to you, then you haven't stepped into it yet. You just stepped into religion. And it's a good copy, but it's not the real thing. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. Identity. Identity. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Well, we know who they are. And not only that, we also know what they do. Purpose. And I tell you, if the Father is the vine dresser, you can expect some pruning. Every branch in me, identity, that does not bear fruit, purpose, He takes away. And I tell you one thing. There's a lot of things that Christians pursue that have nothing to do with purpose. Nothing to do with purpose at all. It's all Christian stuff that people like to do, huddle together and so on. You'll find out that God's purpose for every one of us is to bear fruit. And some people that are just superficial readers of the Bible say, oh, fruit, 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 fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Well, yeah, I have those. None of that's not what He's talking about. That is not what He's talking about. He's talking about a productive life. Something that you produce with your life. That's what He's talking about. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, as I always say, it seems to me, the Father is obsessed with fruit. Oh, He wants fruit. Even if you do bear fruit, He says, I come to prune you because I want you to bear more fruit. That means He'll always be pruning. And even if you bear more fruit, he'll come around and prune some more so you can bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Identity. Abide in me. Dwell in me. Be one with me. And I in you. Now we'll come back to that level of unity a little later on. But you understand when he says, you abide in me and I in you, you cannot separate the two. That's one. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, purpose. Neither can you unless you abide in me, identity. These two things go together. You cannot separate your purpose from your identity. You cannot do that. You cannot think you can bear fruit to the glory of the Father without being identified with him, united with him. You cannot do that. I'm the vine, identity. You are the branches, identity. You're a branch of him. He tells you who you are. That's God's idea of our identity. He says, you're a branch of Jesus. That's who you are. You're not an individual who makes just your own decisions according to your own personal preferences. Sometimes those preferences, what they're meant to become, are sacrifices. You have to give up something. How about that? People don't like to give things up. Oh, there's rebellion. There's rebellion in the hearts of Christians. Church-going Christians. It gets better, so just stay with me. I'm not here to hand out lashes this morning. But you know what? We need to get to where we need to go. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of Christianity. I'm tired. But I'm not tired of Christ. I'm tired of what the world made and what the church made of it all. It's not fun, I'm telling you, it's not fun. I don't know about you, but I don't think it's fun. It's a heavy load. It's a hard burden to bear. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, identity, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Here's the secret. If we abide in him and his words abide in us, what you desire will not be your personal preference. It will be his preference. It says, if you ask anything that you desire, which will be his desire, it will be given to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Purpose and identity. Bear much fruit. Your purpose and my purpose is to bear fruit. That's your purpose. That's my purpose, to bear fruit. And we can only do it if we are united with him. You cannot do it otherwise. You cannot do that. It'll be your own carnal efforts, but it will not be the blessing that flows from the vine into the branches that will produce that fruit. Not be that. The fruit he's looking for is the fruit that flows from the vine into the branches. We have become the fruit-bearing part of Jesus. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. We become his fruit-bearing part. When we stand before the Lord one day, we would like to hear, well done. Something you've done. Some people will just hear, well. Because it won't be a well done. Because you've done nothing. But he wants us to do something that will bear fruit. Something fruitful that will glorify the Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. It's not by this my Father is glorified when you sing beautifully. Unless your singing touches somebody and turns them into fruit. Reaches out into the harvest field and bring the harvest in. Then there's fruit. That's fruit. That's fruit. I found out that God's currency is not money. It's people. But God doesn't think he's rich because the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him, all the silver and all the gold. He doesn't think he's rich because he has all of that. No, he thinks he's rich when his house is full. That's his wealth. That's what he's after. To see the lost come in. Precious fruit. We don't have the time to go into that, but let me tell you, in the shadows of the law and the feasts of Israel, we begin to understand that the barley on the field was a shadow of the harvest that Jesus talked about. And he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers out to bring the harvest in. That's fruit. That's fruit. That's not always easy. We know that firsthand. That's not easy. But that doesn't change anything. That doesn't change anything. Just because it's difficult doesn't change anything. We had our own experiences. It's not easy. And sometimes you feel like giving up. People don't like to talk about what the Lord has done for them because they get rejected. They become identified with something that people don't like, so they don't say anything. Well, I tell you what, we will stand before the Lord one day, and maybe not too long, and then he's going to look for fruit. Verse 8, I believe, is a verse that we all need to know, and we should underline it in our Bible. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. A disciple is a student of the Lord. That's an identity. People say, they're quick to say, well, I studied at this university or that college, and identify themselves with that institution. But we are students of the Most High. And we ought to identify with him. The purpose or the desire of a student in those days was to become like their teacher. To be like him. And that's the purpose of us being disciples. It is to become like him. That's why God made us to look like him. Paul says to the Galatians, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in pain again until Christ is formed in you. Now people see that and know that. Won't it be another day when we stop saying I'm a Christian and the world begin to tell us, oh, you're a Christian. I can see you're a Christian. You're just like him. You're just like, you talk like him. You do the things that he did. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, the things that I do, you will do also. Okay, let's do the last. We go to the last one, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses, not all of them, from a passage there from verse 22 on, where Paul talks about marriage and Christ and the church, and he actually says, well, it's the same thing. The relationship between husband and wife is the same relationship that Christ has with the church. It's the same thing. Remember, I said to you earlier, there's covenant. There's covenant. And covenant makes one. It makes one out of two. And now, and this is talking about our identity. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Now let's start at 22. We're going to miss some things. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. A glorious church tells us that the church is the bride of Christ, and he is not going to marry below his stand. He's going to marry a bride that looks like him. Verse 30. For we are members of his body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You think about that. We're members of his flesh and of his bones. It's interesting that we read the same passage, the same quote, if you will, there in Genesis 1 or 2, where God gave Eve to Adam, and he looked at her and he said, she's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. We're one. We're one. And so we're one with Christ. We're one with him. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. He says, I'm giving you some marriage. And people think it's marriage counseling. And it is. But he's actually talking about Christ and the church. That's what he's actually talking about. And so, there are two things that we need to identify with. Our purpose and to the one that made us. And the one that died for us. And rose again for us into newness of life. And if we do those two things, I think we'll be okay. We can do those two things. We identify with him. I belong to him. God spoke in the Old Testament through one of the prophets. He says in the last days, someone will say, I belong to the Lord. And another will write with his hand, I am the Lord's. Identity. Identity. I'm one with him. I'm one. Christianity, being a disciple of Jesus, is not a part-time thing. It's a life. It's a total life. It's not a part-time thing. It's a total life experience. I'm one with him. Somebody says, you're fanatic. We had people leave here and say, well, you're fanatic. Well, we just say what the Bible says. I cannot stand here and water down what the Bible teaches us. I need to say what the Bible says. I cannot tell you what I think. My opinion doesn't count for anything. Nothing. Only what God says, and it's there for all of us. And here comes this wonderful, glorious revelation. All things have passed away. Everything that you experienced, all the rejection, all the sin, all the failure, All the inferiority complexes are gone. Because now I identify with the one that conquered death and sin and rose up into newness of life, to the glory of the Father, into a life that will never die. And he invites us and he says, become one with me. And be a winner with me. Participate in this life. He gave his life for us. Let's grab it with both hands and say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go and live that life. And be one with him. I hesitate to go deeper with that. But let me tell you where he says, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Listen. If you are one with him, the glory of God is upon you. His power operates in you and through you. And you have the ability, just like he had, to answer every question. Come on now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. He knows all the answers. Don't say, I'm scared people will ask me questions that I don't know. You might not know. That doesn't matter. He knows. And if there's sickness in your body and you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, listen. You better find out who you are in Christ. You better find out who you are in Christ. Get rid of the old identity, where all those things attached itself to you. And step into this new identity where you align with him. You become one with him. And live the new resurrected life. Amen. God's dream for you is so much bigger than you could ever dream in the old life. His glory. What is man that you are mindful of him? You crowned him with glory and honor. Come on. You don't have to live a miserable life. You're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. We need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We need to learn to, we have to hear this with our spiritual ears and our spiritual understanding, because maybe you are not who you think you are. You are not who you think you are. You better find out from God who you really are. Let's all stand.